Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this morning. It's certainly a joy to see everybody here. Please do take a few seconds to sign the friendship register at the end of each pew closest to the center aisle and pass it along to those seated next to you. And please take a look at the announcements inside your bulletin. We have a number of food pantry needs, and there are a few outreach opportunities such as the school supply collection and the Family Promise collection. There's also a Christian Women Fellowship meeting later this week. Kathy and I want to express our deepest gratitude for all those who have participated in VBS this past week, from setting up last Sunday, helping as teachers and assistants, helping with crafts and snacks and games, and our youth helpers who were absolutely incredible this year. The number of children was not as high as in past years, likely due to this being our first year back after 2 years of pandemic restrictions. But despite this, the children still managed to raise $221 for our emergency fund and somewhere between 300 and 400 grocery items for our food pantry as their mission project for VBS this year. It was certainly a joy to minister to the youngest among us, but we're not quite done yet. We could use a few helpers around 2 o'clock today to help take down the remainder of the decorations. We don't think it'll take more than an hour or so, so if you could help, then we can all be home in time to enjoy a little afternoon Sabbath time. All right, Ryan, good morning. It's good to have you back this morning. Would you lead our call to worship?
Good morning, everyone. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. But the time is coming, and it is already here.
When by the power of God's Spirit, people will worship the Father as he really is,
offering him the true worship that he wants. God is Spirit, and only by the power of his Spirit can people worship him as he really is. We'll now sing hymn number 274, I Love Your Church, O God, stanzas 1, 3, and 5.
Bow for a moment of prayer. Loving God, what a joy and privilege it was to minister to our youngest among us this past week of Vacation Bible School. We feel honored to have received the calling to touch each child's heart with your love, to touch each child's mind with your word, and to see each child thrive in the safety of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. Lord God, we seek now your presence as we begin our worship service together. May the Holy Spirit guide each of us now and always, and bring about the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning.
All of a sudden, it got quiet. I thought I was in a funeral home for a minute there. Gracious sakes, everybody just stopped. Well, you can see all our children are out and about. I know some of them are out of town. Others, I think, are probably still sleeping in after vacation Bible school. We this week want to lift up Justin Bojina and his family with the loss of his grandmother, Molly Bojina, who lived in Pittsburgh, Kansas, down in that southeast corner of the state, and they'll be attending services for Molly this week, so please keep them in prayer. And also we want to lift up Lon Anderson. You know, Lon often would attend the second service over here on the right hand, or your right hand side. He's been dealing with stage 4 pancreatic cancer that also went to the liver. He is now in hospice care at North Kansas City Hospital. On Friday of this week, he had his 61st birthday, and myself and his family members were able to sing happy birthday to him and share some cake with him, etc. But then, as of yesterday, he's not been able to communicate with family with the level of medication he's under, etc. So please keep Lon and his sister Janelle and brother David, niece Chloe, all of them in your prayers. Carol Cook is at North Kansas City Hospital. Her shoulder surgery recovery is doing very well, but she had a tooth that was giving her some trouble. As it turned out, that has led to an infection in her jaw, and so she is being hospitalized for IV therapy. Please keep her in prayer, because infections of the head and face and all that can be very, very serious. So we hope all progresses well for Carol at North Kansas City Hospital. Also, we continue to lift up Debbie Buzinski, Lois Berry, Suzanne Darling, Jean Booth, Lois Struck, Bob Settles, Larry Pitts, and we are certainly mindful of a number of other people, Lon Anderson, Jill Gregory, Betty and Jerry Donahue, Rihanna Ralston, Rick Parvin, David Brownfield, Samantha Sander, Chris Bishop, and Anoki Krager have all been on our prayer list now for some time. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence. Merciful and holy God, for the privilege to offer you praise and celebration this Lord's Day morning, we give you thanks. Assembled among brothers and sisters in Christ, we give thanks for our mutual support, as we know the presence of your Holy Spirit strengthens us all. As we lift up the needs of those dear to us, O God, we also seek your comfort and blessing for the thousands of people worldwide who are facing grave and challenging circumstances. We are mindful, O God, that your great plan for humanity involves free will, but we mourn the fact that so many of our world's troubles are the result of humanity's self-interest and people's sway toward the ways of Satan rather than your ways. As we are reminded that Joshua proclaimed to the Hebrew people when they were about to embark upon their venture into the Promised Land, we hope that each of us and our families may affirm, as did Joshua, "As for my family and me, we will serve the Lord." We seek your Holy Spirit's guidance, O God, for every day we know we make decisions to be either for or against your will. And the Apostle John reminds us in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, that we are to listen. "For you stand at the door and you knock. And if anyone hears your voice and opens the door, you will come into our lives. And surely then we will be able to know and follow your will and thus be an influence for good in our part of the world." Help us, O God, in our endeavors to serve you, as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This past week in Vacation Bible School, our children learned about manna from heaven for Moses and the Hebrew people in the wilderness. And the children also sang an updated version of the centuries-old hymn, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah," in which a portion of the first verse states, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more, feed me till I want no more." Picking up her child after one of the sessions this week, a mother asked her child, "Well, what have you learned today?" To which the child exclaimed, "I learned that there's bread in heaven." And then after a pause, the child commented, "I thought there were only dead people there." As we gather at the Lord's table each Sunday and partake of the bread and the cup, symbolic of Christ's sacrifice, we celebrate the truth that our living souls are what will reside in the heavenly realm and surely will be spiritually fed by the wealth of God's glorious presence. I guess we gotta get that message across at Vacation Bible School, right? This is the hope that we affirm as we prepare our hearts to receive the bread and the cup. And we're going to turn to a different song than what's in your bulletin because I thought, well, it would be fun to sing the version of the song that the children have been singing, a revised portion of it. "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah," in your hymn book. It's hymn number 622, and we'll sing stanzas 1 and 3, please.
Thank you. gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Ken leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Lord, as we receive our communion, we are remembering Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. The bread and wine are reminders of Christ's love. And we need food and drink to live physically, but we can only live spiritually through Christ. And this is how we remember Christ's love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God, and we welcome all of you to share. Thank you. As we offer a portion of our resources for God's purposes, we also affirm the text of Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. One gives freely and grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched. We consider these thoughts as indeed Roxy leads us in a word of prayer, and we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Our Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with so many things. Help us to be cheerful givers as we give back a portion to you in these tithes and offerings so that we may spread your light and word throughout our world and community. Bless these gifts and the givers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Offerings are used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture text I'd like to share with you this morning, Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning with the 38th verse through 42. As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him in her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat down at the feet of the Lord and listened to his teaching. Martha was upset over all the work she had to do, and so she came and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me." Boy, that's some pretty bold words to say to Jesus, isn't it? Do you think you could do that? Not me. You know, we have a little bit more of a hindsight perspective on who Jesus really was. I'm not quite sure that they did back in this time before Christ's resurrection and ascension. Then verse 41, the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled over so many things, but just one is needed. Mary has chosen the right thing, and it will not be taken from her." So there. May we pray. Merciful and loving God, for the blessing of true friendships, we give you thanks, as we especially appreciate the truth that as we welcome Christ as our Lord and Savior, Jesus does indeed call us his friends. Guide our meditations and understandings as we seek the instruction of your word. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Truly, friendships are one of the most significant blessings that anyone can experience as we make our way through life. Some people are blessed to have genuine friendships that begin early in life and can last for decades and can survive even distance created by various moves. Some people acquire genuine friendships through hobbies or special interests. And many people of faith find their deepest friendships among fellow believers, as the values of our faith bind us together through the teachings of Christ. And in fact, over 40-odd years of ministry, one of the things I have noticed is to hear a number of people say, "My best friends are my friends at church." And I think part of it is because we have shared values, and those bind us together. And, you know, many people who end up traveling around the country or the world because of job experiences, whether it be military or particular corporations that people work for, again, being able to find connections that have meaning and value is a very precious commodity. About friendships, it has been said that you know you have a true friend when your friend can tell you that your face is dirty. Our genuine friends pick us up when we fall, and if they can't pick us up, they'll lie down and listen for a while. You have a true friend when you realize you don't have to clean your house before your friends come over. And there is nothing better than a friend, unless it's a friend with chocolate. But as we think about how valuable genuine friendships can be to you and me, have you ever wondered whether Jesus experienced genuine and true friendships? Jesus certainly lived a very busy life once he proclaimed that he was the Messiah. He was often overwhelmed by crowds of people who sought him out for his teachings, for his healing powers, and for the wondrous miracles he performed. In other words, the throngs of people wanted something from Jesus, right? But likely very few offered to him the blessing of friendship. Jesus seems rather weary as he declares in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lie down and rest." But as we take a look behind much of the day-to-day drama of Jesus' ministry, we can learn that Jesus was blessed with at least one exceptional family-like relationship where it appears that Jesus experiences genuine friendship and a place of respite in their home. It is in the home of the siblings, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, in a small village just east of Jerusalem called Bethany. The village of Bethany in Jesus' day was situated on the southeastern slope of the Mount of Olives, about 1.7 miles east and slightly south of Jerusalem, which meant that you could traverse that distance in what, 40 minutes or so? You know, a 20-minute mile, right? So it was very convenient to make that journey, but it was also a way to get out of the hustle and bustle of Jerusalem. Many significant New Testament events occurred in Bethany and in the nearby Mount of Olives, and that would make a sermon in and of itself. But for today's message, we focus on the household of the three siblings, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Our scripture reading this morning from Luke's gospel doesn't mention Bethany, but the description of it being the house of Martha and her sister Mary confirms for us that it is the home shared with their brother Lazarus in Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem. Being that the three siblings all were living together, we are led to assume that their parents are deceased, since the parents are not mentioned, but that they inherited a significant house, if not indeed somewhat of an estate, that was well above average means, and that they, for various reasons, the three of them had not married. It may be that they were just young enough that they had not married, or for some reason they have just chosen not to marry, and they're just living together in the home place, if you will. But the household of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus was thus substantial, and they were quite capable of accommodating a couple of dozen people at a time. For when Jesus traveled, not only was he accompanied by the 12 disciples, but likely also by several other patrons who helped provide financial resources along the journey. Jesus' movement from place to place was more than like a team from the Billy Graham Crusade, for some of us who can remember that. You know, I participated in Billy Graham Crusades twice in my lifetime. Once when I was in high school, and our choir was part of the choir, you know, that was in the stadium. And also then once again, as an adult, when I was pastoring a church, both of those were location, you know, all happened in San Antonio, just two different time periods. But, you know, when the Billy Graham Crusade was coming, it was an entourage of people who came into town. It was an exciting event, and all the churches, you know, would just all gather together and put forth our resources and participate. So it was a significant event. Or we could kind of think in today's terms of Jesus's a group being somewhat like a music band, you know, the band members and plus all the support people. It certainly was not the matter of a one-man traveling salesman here. Luke chapter 10 tells us that Jesus and his disciples were welcomed by Martha, leading us to believe that Martha was the oldest of the three and likely considered to be the head of the household. As the verses continue, it's apparent that Martha has taken charge of all the preparations for the meal and the lodgings, while her younger sister, Mary, has decided to, as the text tells us, sit down at the feet of Jesus and listen to his teachings. Now, the nuance there that we Westerners don't quite catch is that the notion of sitting at the master's feet or the rabbi's feet, that meant that you were a disciple who was very earnest in wanting to understand the teachings that the rabbi had to offer. Even the Apostle Paul talks about sitting at the feet of a particular rabbi who trained him early in his understanding of becoming a Pharisee, you see. So this was a nuance that the people of Jesus' day would have caught, and we kind of lose track of it. But here what we see is an assembly of Jesus' disciples likely seated on the ground in an inner courtyard, and they are surrounding Jesus as Jesus is talking to them about the aspects of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And given the size of the household and the number of guests, Martha likely had some servants assisting with the laborious duties of preparing the meal with the use of clay ovens and other facilities that were also situated in that same courtyard. In other words, if we're trying to picture this kind of household, the best image we could have would be to think in terms of a Spanish mission. We have an exterior wall, and you have individual rooms built on the interior of that wall, and then on the center is some kind of open courtyard, right? That's the kind of household we're talking about. In fact, if they were wealthy enough, they may have even had like a second level at one portion or another built into this complex. But everything happened in the interior courtyard. So as the evening is coming to a close, and remember from what I've shared with you before, the main meal of the day was the evening meal, because that's when everybody could gather. All the chores have been finished, the animals have been taken care of, the animals are enclosed wherever they need to be in order to be safe for the night. Things begin to wind down, and here Martha is busy bossing around her servants and probably pitching in and doing whatever she needs to do to help out and make sure everything runs smooth. And at the same time, where's Mary? She's sitting over there with the men. Now, not today, in today's context, it'd be all the ladies in the kitchen getting the meal ready or cleaning up after the meal. Where are the men? Watching football, right? This would be like one of the women deciding to watch football. Wait a minute, what are you doing watching football? There's work to be done. Well, wait a minute, what are you doing stopping there listening to Jesus when in fact there's things to be done? And so we get this portion of verse 40 where Martha declares to Jesus, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Again, she's not doing all the work by herself. This is a significant household, but she's in charge of it, and she's just furious about not getting her sister's assistance. And so in the latter portion of this verse, Martha declares to Jesus, tell her to come and help me. I find it rather striking that in her frustrated, bold, and direct accusation, Martha is projecting onto their friend and traveling rabbi Jesus, almost like a kind of a guilt complex there, isn't she? Hey, Jesus, don't you care that Mary's not helping me? Tell her to get busy. That's bold, don't you think? But the nuance that I think we need to catch is it also reveals to us the intimacy of relationship that Jesus has developed with this family unit. Enough so that Martha can just be pretty blunt and pretty direct and straightforward, even in her commentary to Jesus himself. Whereas I think most of us would have just, we're just going to keep on doing the work and we'll deal with Mary later, right? The last thing we'd do would be to make any comment to Jesus about the circumstances. But here, Martha felt she had enough of a friendship with Jesus and at the same time knew that Jesus had some authority. After all, he's the rabbi. And so she's nudging the rabbi to, hey, help me out here. You know, isn't there some justice here that needs to be rectified here? But then notice Jesus's response. He doesn't get miffed. Instead, he responds to Martha with genuine compassion as he repeats her name, even as everyone else present would have heard his response. Martha, Martha, he says, you are worried and troubled over so many things, but just one is needed. Martha has chosen the right thing, and it will not be taken from her. Boy, at one point, I think here, don't you think Martha's just frustrated and boiling by this point? What do you mean? I'm looking for action here. Help. And it's not coming. But surely Jesus knew that his time on earth was short. And there was nothing more important than imparting the spiritual truths of the gospel. Surely Jesus knew that it is the things of the spiritual and eternal world that are of utmost importance, even as the busy, distracting task of daily chores and meal preparations and evening preparations will surely be of no consequence once God calls forth his kingdom. And yet behind the storyline, the scene that we must experience is really of utmost importance for today's lesson. It is the fact that the spacious and accommodating home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus was a place where Jesus found respite. Here, Jesus found a place of solace and comfort where he could be sheltered from the hustle and bustle and the pressing needs and requests of the crowds who were constantly seeking him out. Here among genuine friends like Martha and Mary and certainly Lazarus, whom we meet later in John chapters 11 and 12, Jesus could teach the gospel in the quietness of the evening, likely blessed by the calming breeze of the courtyard, even as they shared a comforting meal together. And I think at this point, Jesus would have been fine with bologna sandwiches. You see? And in the midst of it all, Jesus would not be distracted by Martha's hustle and bustle of trying to make all things perfect. For he knew the one thing would not be taken away from Mary or the others, striving to listen to his teachings. And that one thing being the truth of a living friendship with the Savior of the world. And so, the lesson of this morning that the story implies for you and me is simply this. Let us not get so caught up in the hustle and bustle of making all things of life just so and perfect, if it is keeping us from sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words, experiencing his truths of the spiritual realm, and truly appreciating the fact that Jesus, first and foremost, wants us to have a meaningful, living relationship with him that will last for all eternity. So many of the things that we think are so very important at one stage or another in our lives ultimately fades away, does it not? And what really is important is friendship among friends. And the most significant friendship we could ever experience is that spiritual friendship with our loving Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we remember Proverbs chapter 27, verse 9, as the text says, "The sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel." And so let us pause. Take time to cultivate true and genuine friendships, and especially the friendship with our Lord. And so the sign states outside, "Friends in Christ." John chapter 15, verse 15, the latter portion of the verse, Jesus says, "I call you friends because I have told you everything I heard from my Father." Do you know Christ? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Is he your friend? If he isn't, today is that day in which I know you can come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed, or today can be your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. We turn to our hymn of invitation, number 585, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." We'll sing stanzas 1 and 3, please. We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning and wish you the very best as you journey forward in the new week. A reminder, 2 o'clock this afternoon, we certainly can use some help dismantling the remaining items for Vacation Bible School. It won't take long if we just have a number of people to help. May we pray. Lord God, as we depart, may we truly embrace the truth that Christ our Lord desires to also be our friend, to walk with us, journey with us, that we may know the fullness of your presence in our lives. Guide us in that journey as we step forward into the new week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.